Welcome to the Golf Industry Uncut. On-demand audio for the world of golf like never before. Exclusively on THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Network. Now, here's your host, JB.
That intro means it's time for another episode of the Golf Industry Uncut. Each episode of Uncut will feature one of the great insiders from the golf industry, and they'll be placed in the hot seat to discuss equipment, technology, and the entire golf industry landscape. This week, we welcome Tom from Matrix Shafts to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
THP Radio is your new twist on on-demand audio in the world of golf, and the Golf Industry Uncut is your complete access to the equipment world that you're craving the info on. The way the show works is easy. Once the record button's pressed, there's no delay or editing done till the show ends, so you hear it all. Our only rule is a simple one. Each company that comes on must be accessible via social media, and you can find them at Matrix Shafts, so make sure you leave them all the feedback you'd like after the show. Tom, are you ready to jump right into it?
Yeah, I guess so.
How did you get into the business, and can you give us a little career timeline? Because yours is rather interesting.
I was working as a mechanical engineer and as a civilian for the Air Force in their composites office. And back in 96, of course, in the location I was working at, McClellan Air Force Base, was going to get shut down. So I decided to search out opportunities in sunny San Diego. And found myself at TaylorMade, found in Carlsbad, which was great. So I started there in late 96. I think they had just done $150 million at the time, and when I got there, I started on the iron team. TaylorMade was using the bubble shaft in all their products at the time, so I started on that for irons. We did all the, since it was a molding process, not the standard table rolled sheet wrapped process, TaylorMade did all the design and prototyping on equipment that we had in-house. Started on that for irons, took over the tour shaft design since we needed to make all the shafts for our tour players in-house, did that. And then several years later, as we kept growing, Adidas came in, bought TaylorMade, and when the big change happened, you know, TaylorMade went from being the copper company to developing new products, performance oriented. That was our motto at the time, best performing golf clubs out there. So I think when you had Sean on here a while ago, he talked about how the 300 series drivers, a big change for us, and really what started the great upward climb that TaylorMade did. I remember on the shaft side, when we went out on tour with the 300 series drivers and the 200 steel fairway woods, you know, we had a lot of great success. And we also went away from the bubble shaft, so we were using the same shafts everybody else was out on tour. That's when Larry Bishman was our tour engineer at the time, and Sean came up with an idea of doing the TP line of shafts.
So that was Sean's idea.
Tour. Yeah, well,
for those that don't know, he's referring to Sean Toulon, who was senior vice president at TaylorMade, and we had him on recently for his Toulon Design Company.
It was all these things, you know, as things sometimes do, all these things sort of happen at one time, and they all came together. The tour guys out there could fit a player with the new 300 series drivers, and they'd like it. But if they moved them out of a Callaway or a Titleist club, the tour reps for those companies would just go ask them what the specs were, and then build them the exact same thing with the same shaft, same length, and then get them back into their club head. So Larry came up with the idea of doing our own shafts, which was a TP line. Sean came up with that name, and then at the time, every club head out there was black or dark gray. So on TV, you know, when someone was teeing up, you can tell what they were playing. So Sean's stroke of genius was saying, I want someone to see that shaft and know they're playing TaylorMade. And if you remember, when we came out with the TP shafts, they didn't even say TaylorMade on them. They had the silver IP base coat and then a red band up at the top. And whenever you saw that on TV, you knew that guy was playing a TaylorMade club.
And that was every shaft, no matter what, they all looked that way.
When we started the TP, it was all our own designs, and MRC was the exclusive manufacturer for those. So that was the other part of the puzzle. Shirishi came over from MRC. MRC wanted to, you know, get a foothold in the U.S., so they came and said that they would do a bunch of stuff for us. What we did was we went out, did a survey of all the shafts that were being used on tour and the most popular ones. There was a guy at TaylorMade, Ian Wright, smartest guy I ever worked with. I told him what we were trying to do, and what we needed to do was come up with our own shafts that players who were using all these other shafts could use and get similar performance. So we took all the data. Ian came up with this great software to do a cluster analysis of all the shafts, all the data points, and we came up with five shafts that were going to be our exclusive designs, and we had MRC make them. Abuki-san over there and his team got them all done. Since Larry didn't want people, you know, the other manufacturers to be able to even know what the weights were, all those shafts went out there with names, no weights. And that's when we had the Shaq-X and the B-Lee and I can't even remember what the other ones were. But me and Larry were watching a lot of basketball at the time, so we named most of them after basketball players. And whenever we fit a player into a TaylorMade club out there, competitor's club, they didn't know how to rebuild their own club the same way to get that player back. And we did that for, I don't know, 2-3 years out there where we used just those names instead of weights. And then after those 3 years, we brought on Fuji and Aldila, and they did the same paint scheme for us so we could maintain visibility out there on tour.
Was that around the R9 line?
Could have been. No, I think it was before that. I think it was probably, yeah, it had to be before that. It was probably the generation or two generations before R7.
Gotcha. Now, while you were there, you worked with a who's who of people who have been on this show. I believe you worked with John Hoflick and Sean Toulon and
sure.
Harry Arnett. And the list goes on and on. There was quite the dream team there.
Yeah, there were a lot of people there who were part of, you know, that great growth we had there and success have moved on. But yeah, it was a great time. I mean, when after the 300 series, it was nonstop. When we used to do one driver line a year, and then the next year it was the accompanying fairway line. After the 200, 300 series, we were putting out product, you know, every 9 months. Whatever product was in the market, you know, we were already two product. We were already working on products that was going to be two generations after it. It was quite the grind.
Now, you made a switch to designing shafts at Matrix, and by designing for our people who aren't technical, I'm not talking about paint schemes and color schemes. You literally design how the shaft will perform. How do you make that transition to a shaft company, and how is it designing shafts at Matrix?
It's great. You know, shafts have always been one of the biggest performance aspects of the club and something that players are always very specific about and really need individual parameters to enhance their performance. Whereas many players can use the same club head, they always have to search and do some testing to find that one shaft that is going to give them maximum performance. So, you know, coming to a shaft company was good because there's still a lot of opportunities for new engineering, technical design, whereas on the head side, the USGA has put many more restrictions on what you can do with the club head. So it's been great. You know, we have shafts for all sorts of different players, price points. So it's been really great to see all that and work on those.
Now, one of the lines you guys have there has been known as TPHD. The latest one is TPHDE. And I always referred to it almost as a concept car kind of shaft. It's got a high price tag, but you guys are pushing the envelope of technology and what really can be done possibly in the future as material prices come down. Can you tell us a little bit about TPHD and what makes it so unique in the materials being done?
Sure. You know, that's something else that we have lots of freedom of when designing shafts is there's lots of different materials, new materials that you can evaluate, test, and then combine. So, you know, there's many new organic fibers that are being marketed now, polymeric fibers, and they all have different properties in density, stiffness, and strength. And then there's a whole family of metallic filament that have found their way into new shaft designs, and there's more coming. We're always evaluating new materials here at Matrix, And in fact, here in Anaheim, we have a small machine where we will prepreg the material for whatever new fibers that we want to test and evaluate. As the TP line matures, you know, like you said, the new TP line is the HDE. It uses the most advanced fibers and materials we have, in addition to an internal geometry, so the tooling that we use. We have an internal geometry that runs from the butt end of the shaft down to the tip parallel that enhances strength and improves feel, and we combine that with some very specific materials, a boron fiber in conjunction with a xylon fiber, and high modulus carbon fiber. The placement of those materials within the layup help us control vibration and feel, and then give us the strength, the EI profile, and the torque that we're looking for. Those materials come from all over the world. The xylon comes from Japan. We have materials and processes that come from the UK and Korea. That shaft actually can only be made in the US because of the materials that are in it, and there are restrictions on them. In their raw form. After we make that shaft, we have to ship it over to Korea for finishing. They put on the special ion plating, and then it comes back to the U.S. where we put the final decal decoration on it. So, you know, it has our most advanced design, a feel that you can't find in a shaft with those other same weight and stiffness properties, and then the finest finish we can put on it. All those things put it up there at that premium price point.
Now, one of the things that's kind of neat is as the processes and materials become more mainstream, because you guys are slightly ahead of the curve the way you described it with the TP line, is they trickle down slowly usually to the performance lines. And you guys just released a shaft called Deus, and while I was out there, I noticed that it does have some of the properties that the TP line had had previously, like the interior is patterned, I don't know how many sides. I was going to say hexagonal, but that's not correct.
It's hexadecagonal, so it's 16-sided.
16-sided. So can you tell us a little bit about Deus and what makes it unique?
Yeah, sure. As you said, in anything auto racing or golf, technology does tend to trickle down. Deus is a family of two specific lines of shaft that are priced very competitively so that players can get a good fit for their swing, maximize performance, and get it all at a great price point. We have our standard Deus line, and then we have the Deus HD line, and all the shafts in the HD line have the HD internal structure. Although it doesn't run full length like the copper line TP shaft, it does run throughout the grip section down the shaft to enhance the feel. The Deus line consists of a similar flex profile for the woods, the hybrids, and the irons. And then we have them in multiple weights, a lightweight, a midweight, and a heavyweight. So regardless of the player, if they want to do a full set of clubs, they can do it. They'll have the opportunity with flex and weight to put together the set they want and have a very consistent feel throughout the set.
So somebody could come in and say, you know, that they like, you know, a 90-gram shaft or an 80-gram shaft or a 60-gram shaft, and they could have the same feel throughout everything from irons to wedges all the way to drivers.
Yeah. For players that, you know, very hard for players to change their swing mechanics. If we can find them a flex and weight that works for them, hopefully it should work throughout their entire set. You know, and then as we go from lightest to heaviest, your launch angle comes down. So obviously your lightest weights are going to have the highest launch, the highest spin, and then your heaviest shafts are going to have a lower launch and a lower spin.
For this Deus line specifically?
For the Deus line, right. And then for the Deus HD, like I said, they all have the internal HD geometry. The feel is very good, and they feel very stable at all swing speed. Now on the HD line, as the flex increases in a specific weight, you get a stiffer tip. As your swing speed and head speed increases, the launch angle starts to come down.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So, you know, that may be more for someone who's going to get, you know, custom fit and is really trying to maximize his performance. And it's a really great shaft for custom fitters.
And the Deus is now at club fitters everywhere, correct?
Yeah. Yep, it is. And the standard Deus line, the Deus HD, and then we're going to launch a couple of...
Ooh, sneak peek, everybody.
What's that?
I said sneak peek for everybody.
Yep. And then we'll have a... we're going to do a couple of tour-specific models that we'll have out here by the end of the year, and we'll have at the show in Orlando.
Very nice, and we'll make sure the THPers have all the details on that. Let me talk a little bit about shaft design with you. You know, you've designed tons of shafts, and I've had the privilege of being at Matrix headquarters, and you walk into Tom's office, and for any shaft nerds out there, you guys would be in heaven. It's slightly disorganized, and there are shafts everywhere. When you're designing something, what is the most important aspect of designing a shaft?
The most important aspect would probably vary depending on where that shaft is going to be positioned or who it's being made for. Some shafts are very specific for the overall weight and the CG location. Some have very specific EI profiles or stiffness profiles for a certain performance. And then, you know, when we do other shafts, sometimes, you know, cost may be one of the drivers. But what type of shaft I'm designing, I'm always looking for the most stable design that I can make. What I mean by that is a design that works in concert with the mandrel, the tooling that we're using, and the materials so that we can hit the parameters we want in weight and flex. We get the performance, but as we make that shaft in volume, it is the most consistent design. So when we start making hundreds and thousands of shafts, I want a real stable design which uses the smallest amount of tolerance in weight or torque or tip flex. You know, I want the top and the bottom in each of those categories to be as small as possible, so we get a really precise, consistent shaft every time.
Fascinating stuff, and we are going to obviously have Tom on quite a bit because we can delve deep into shaft specifics, manufacturing, and everything else, so stay tuned. I know he gave us a lot on our shaft technology in 2 minutes or less, and we have a lot more of that stuff coming. It's time for the Fire Away segment, Tom. 10 topics, first thing that comes to your mind, nothing about golf. Are you ready?
All right.
Best sandwich and from where?
Oh, man. I live in Southern California. Let's talk best burrito. That would be carnitas burrito at Senor Grubby's in downtown Carlsbad.
Changing my questions. I like it. The last movie you have seen in a theater?
Ooh, it's been a long time. Have to be, it'd be Rush.
What are acceptable toppings for a hot dog?
Oh, anything.
I like it.
You know, onions, chili, cheese, mustard, ketchup, whatever you want.
What is the best travel city for food that's not in your home state?
Ooh. In the U.S.?
It could be anywhere you'd like.
Okay. Well, in the U.S., it'd be Charleston because I put on 3 pounds every time I go there.
That's a good one.
Otherwise, it'd be, you know, someplace in Italy. Florence, Rome, Sorrento, any of those.
Great. Have you been to a place in Charleston called Snob?
No. I went to Hominy Grill and Chalkboard Deli last time.
Yeah, Snob stands for slightly north of Broad. Next time you're there, you got to check it out.
I'm there.
If you were to create the perfect hamburger, what are the toppings?
Oh, let's see. It'd be simple. It'd be more like, you know, ketchup, mustard, blue cheese, maybe some onions.
Now, for those that don't know, Tom has quite the commute each morning into Anaheim, where Matrix is headquartered. Are you a music or talk radio guy?
That's music.
That shocks me, actually.
Why is that?
I don't know. I just pictured you as a talk radio guy or a silence guy. And I picture you as a road rage guy, I'm not going to lie.
Well, you know, the music makes it fun. It makes it more of a game.
Gotcha. Favorite TV show when not watching golf?
I like Wheeler Dealers, those two British guys who always fix those cars.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Best toppings on a pizza?
I'd either go, you know, A margarita pizza in Italy is always good, but here I always, would do a meat lover's pizza, the sausage, the pepperoni, and black olives. Man, you're making me hungry. Why are all these questions about food?
Well, no more food ones left. Okay, this one's going to make our readers jealous or our listeners jealous. What is the coolest thing in your office?
Oh, really? I got lots of cool golf stuff in here, but the coolest thing would be non-golf related. I got a carbon fiber diffuser off of a Formula One car that was used on a wind tunnel model. So
that's actually very cool.
That's the coolest thing I got in my office.
And finally, you're on a plane coming back from the East Coast to land in San Diego. You have a choice of the back of the plane in the middle seat, but you get Wi-Fi, or up front in an aisle, but no Wi-Fi.
Oh, up front on an aisle, no doubt. I can sleep anywhere. I'll be asleep as soon as I sit down.
Oh, I am so jealous. There you have it, gang. We want to thank Tom for coming on the show and talking to us. You can join us on the THP forum to discuss and debate everything you talked about here. Don't forget to head over to iTunes and subscribe to the Hacker's Paradise so you never miss a new episode of the Golf Industry Uncut, The Dean Has Spoken, or On the Tee Box. And don't forget to leave a review with what your thoughts are in iTunes with what your favorite THP radio show is. So for myself, and of course Tom, we hope you enjoyed this new episode. Bye, everybody.
THP Radio on the Hacker's Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.